to American Reds, Tribal Rant's unofficial podcast for the FX series, The Americans. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
And tonight we're podcasting The Americans, Season 4, Episode 10, called Munchkins.
Munchkins.
It aired on May 18th, and we know it had that title.
Because?
Because they were talking about
Webster's Munchkins.
Yeah.
The director of the FBI's disciples, which Stan affectionately refers to as Munchkins.
And we found out that they really dislike margin errors.
They dislike margin errors. They dislike all that is appearance-oriented minutia.
So did you have any overall impressions about this episode? Did you like it? What did you think about it?
I like all the Americans episodes, really. And I mean, you can find something to talk about in all of them. This wasn't a spectacularly dramatic episode. If you remove the death of Gad,
which was horrible,
which was pretty horrible, and it's hard to figure out. But it was a lot about disappearance, really. If you think about it, I mean, we'll talk about it. But I thought the theme was like everybody was disappearing. I mean, you know, Pastor Tim was disappearing. Matthew was telling Paige about a secretary that had disappeared. The Russian guys kind of made Gad disappear.
That's interesting.
Everything was disappearing.
Yeah, I had a little bit different take. Normally, yours and my overall take is really close, but on this one, it's just complete opposite. Or not really opposite, but completely different. Mine was...
That's why we have chocolate and vanilla.
Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
I like vanilla.
I kind of like vanilla, too.
Yeah.
Mixed with chocolate.
I thought this was an episode about the strength of women. We saw Philip talking about his mother and how hard she was and her strength. And they brought up Elizabeth's mother again. And Elizabeth trying to power through this thing that she really doesn't want to do. And having all this empathy, but how strong she is to still do that. And Alice doing the one thing she can, even though it just really is
she was making it all up, we found out.
Right. But she was that took a lot of gumption.
Boy, it sure did.
To go in there and do that. So just her strength. And then Paige's strength. And also, I think Paige came to a realization in this episode. Because we'll talk about it, I guess, once we get there. But I did want to point it out, even at the beginning, as a strength thing. She goes in to Alice and is talking to her. And Alice hugs her. Alice is the comforter to her.
I think Alice was kind of breaking down a
little
bit.
But then Alice completely broke down and she actually leaned her very tall compared to Paige. Physical body on Paige and started sobbing. You could see Paige's face. Paige, I don't think, had ever experienced a leader woman in her life, i.e. Elizabeth, break down and lean on her.
That's a pretty good point.
And I think it really made an impression on Paige, and I think it empowered her, maybe even in a negative way, toward doing other things.
Well,
because
maybe a positive way.
Well, at the end, she's talking about how she thinks
they shouldn't ask for the tape back.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
so she's
yes,
going straight to, hey, look, let's deal with this tape situation. Because
right,
we've got some exposure here.
Right.
She's put herself in the mix.
And she feels powerful in having made that decision. She feels like, I don't think Paige realized her strength. And when Alice broke down on her, I think it really made her think, okay, I'm strong enough that this adult woman is breaking down on me. Maybe even all psychologically, but that's certainly how I took it. I don't know that she sat and thought that, but I don't think Paige has ever seen that before, and I thought that this was a whole episode about how hard and tough women are. Tatiana, you know, how she's doing this crazy, hard, secretive job, and you know, just person after person of strong females. But the overall episode, I just thought it was one of the creepiest episodes they've had. Something felt really dark and sinister about this episode, and I don't know if it's because we had Kimmy back and just the gross factor of that's real hard to watch.
That is hard to watch.
But Gad, you know, and how he went out. I mean, it was just really creepy. There was something really creepy.
Yeah, and Gad, I mean, what's up with Gad running through the glass window? I mean, they wanted to talk to him.
He didn't run through the glass.
They were non-threatening. I mean, they weren't threatening. They were. I mean, they were, you know, strong-arming. They came in with three people. They looked pretty, you know, they were Russian goons. But they were talking right to him. And they had a proposal. So all he had to do was listen to the proposal and then tell him to get out. That's all he had to do. But John Boy, no. He turns around and takes off and falls through the glass window and skewers himself.
Well, he didn't actually fall through. If you noticed, he took off running and they went to grab him.
The guy tackled
him. He kind of tackled him through because the guy got cut as well.
Either way, he ended up through a window with a big piece of glass through his abdomen. He's bleeding out. And, you know, John Boy, what's up? I mean, listen to what they got to say. I mean, you're an FBI agent. You're supposed to gather information, not turn around and run through windows. I
don't know what he thought or what he knew.
Where was he going?
I don't know.
Why didn't he use the door handle?
Because he wasn't trying to open the door. But, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I don't know. And I don't know, are we supposed to know what's going on with that? Are we just, because I've really thought about it and I feel real dim today.
What operation? Well, let's talk about it when we get there.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. Did you notice that Gad did the previously on the Americans statement? Did you notice? You always notice.
Yeah, they always. Yeah, they
always. I was so proud of myself for having noticed that it was Gad. You know, I'm not good at that.
Yes, you've stolen the pebbles from my hand, Drew Hopper.
But yeah, Young Hee has Patty over for dinner, and they're just telling stories and talking, and Don is pretty uncomfortable.
Oh man, you can tell.
Mike, when we're watching this, he is the remote commander, and he had fast-forwarded through that scene, thinking it was an old dinner scene when it first started, thinking it was showing the upcoming on the Americans. And I was like, no, I think that was this week.
Yeah,
so it was even uncomfortable. It was like, that can't be happening right now, but it was. But Paige and Philip are cooking dinner together, and Paige is doing these little grown-up things, you know, like she's adding bouillon to the pasta water to flavor the pasta. And then they start talking about Philip's childhood.
That was interesting, talking when Paige was quizzing Philip about his childhood and his mother and his father. And she's just curious, like any kid would be. And he mentioned he grew up in Siberia. That's a tough environment.
Yeah, did you look up anything about the place that he grew up in? Tobolsk?
Tobolsk, yeah.
It's known as the forgotten capital of Siberia. It's like way off of the Trans-Siberian...
It's in the middle of nothing.
Railroad.
Zippo, there's nada there.
What was interesting about the whole conversation was Paige... I think you're right. I think she does... She's curious, but Paige doesn't get it, just like we don't really get it, you know?
No, they don't understand. She doesn't understand what life was about. Back then, life was about survival. And, I mean, you had to survive the elements. You had to survive the Russian, you know, the new government or the existing, you know, the Stalin government.
Mm-hmm.
You had to survive and make it. And it was tough. It was hard. These were hard people in a hard place, you know, with a hard government governing them. And it doesn't go at all with, you know, their experience. And I think Phillip's embraced how great his kids have it. But I think sometimes Elizabeth wishes they knew how hard it was. You know, she's annoyed at the tennis ball. She's annoyed at little things that Paige says. She demands 100%
compliance and obedience to what she says.
And Philip, of course, is the more lenient parent who's really, really more Americanized because, you know, the kids, they're American kids. They were born here. They grew up here. You know, they have Russian spy parents, but, you know, they don't know anything about, you know, working at the cooperative building rakes or enduring Siberian winters or how hard it, you know, your parents, you know, worked in a really meaning, you know, rough job, how rough these people were.
Right, and his father dying as a logger when he was six, and we assume he died as a logger.
Yeah, and he mentions His mother, somebody shorted him on his pay, and his mom went over there, and the guy paid up. That's how tough she was.
Tough women. And we already know
how tough Elizabeth's mother was.
Right, tough enough to send her child away.
These were tough people. Gabriel gave us a glimpse of how tough and demanding the rigors of working within the Communist Party were by having to, a couple episodes ago, having to go drag one of his friends out of his house in front of his family and take him off, you know, knowing they were going to kill him. I mean, this was a tough group of people.
And Paige has asked him things like, did he like it there? And he kind of laughs. He's like, that's not how you thought about things. He said, there was things there that I liked, of course.
It was about survival and work ethic and getting your job done and you know, adherence to the rules.
Yeah.
This is what it was about there.
Well, in the meanwhile, we see young Heath walking Patty outside and saying goodbye. So we know that that was the end of that dinner meeting at about the same time and everything. And Patty walks off and she just looks guilty.
Yeah,
she looks unhappy.
You know, she's not happy with what's coming because she knows what's coming.
And I mean, can you imagine how uncomfortable that was for her, too? I mean, of course it was uncomfortable for Dawn, but that was uncomfortable for Patty, too, to sit through dinner.
It
Come
was
on.
Less uncomfortable for Patty because Patty's got the 30,000-foot view of the situation. I mean, she's the Russian spy trying to get the codes so they can get in to the fourth floor from Dawn.
Right.
And so, but she is a little, she has gotten in touch with her Est side because she's feeling bad about what she's doing to Dawn and young He.
I wonder if it's just like a compilation of everything. Wonder if this stuff starts to pile up on you over time or if it's an age thing or I wonder what's changing her because we've definitely seen changes in her. We know kind of what changed Philip, and Philip was never that hard and harsh and stern to begin with, I don't think.
Gandhi says that life is an indivisible whole. You cannot do right in one department of life while attempting to do wrong in another.
Mm.
Now, how that fits, I don't know. I just, you made me think of Gandhi.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we go to the scene where Philip and Elizabeth are with Gabriel. And now, you're going to have to explain something to me here. He's talking about an older librarian, mid-40s woman that you wouldn't notice if she sat in your lap. That's what he said.
Well, yeah, you know, just like...
But who's he talking about?
He's talking about somebody I think they're going to use for the fourth floor mission. They've got some...
Somebody
something,
else.
Yeah, they got a need for another agent that fits that description for whatever reason that they're going to use when it comes time to for the bioweapons operation to come to a crescendo.
Well, and they ask how he found her, or something about how he knew her, or how he found her, or something. He said that she had a militant hanging out of her bag. And the militant is a international socialist newspaper connected to the Socialist Workers' Party and the Pathfinder Press. It's published in the United States and delivered to other countries.
Hmm.
So she had one of those hanging out, and I guess he recruited her based on that, or
yeah, I mean,
that's where
probably
he got her?
That's all it would take.
Okay, because I thought that was kind of a interesting little thing that we haven't heard about. He also says she and the older man plus Hans gives us enough of a team to move forward on William. Now, who's the older man? Do we know who that was? Because I don't know who he's talking about.
I don't either.
Okay.
Maybe somebody they haven't introduced yet.
Yeah, him and the 40-year-old librarian who you wouldn't notice if she sat on your lap. That's pretty descriptive of somebody, isn't it?
I think I'd notice a 40-year-old librarian sitting on my lap.
And she'd probably turn into your girlfriend within a few minutes.
I don't think so.
You don't know.
I've got to pick my girlfriend. She can't just jump on my lap and be my girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they're talking about, is William ready? Yeah, he's going to be ready soon. And then he asks Elizabeth if she's ready. And we get kind of the...
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
But then she toughens up.
No, I'm ready. Yeah, yeah. She sucks it up. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
And then Philip, he reminds them that the last time they did this, they nearly started a epidemic.
Right. Yeah.
And Gabriel's like, you don't need to remind me.
I was there, man. I don't see Elizabeth. This is not true to her form to show weakness like this when they're sitting around talking together. She, even if she felt, yeah, well, you know, kind of passive about it, she would have toughened up for her answer long ago. I don't see this being true to her character.
Philip's trying to defend her. I don't know if it's so much about her or if it is just about their relationship, because he's trying to defend her. To Gabriel, he's saying maybe she's just not at that point. Maybe she's not ready. And this is where she cuts Philip off and goes, no, no, I'm ready. I'm okay. So is she showing like this weakness with Gabriel that she doesn't want to show with Philip?
Probably.
Because remember at the end, she does the weakness thing with Gabriel again.
I think that's probably true.
But with Philip, as soon as he catches her, she's like, no.
Yeah, Gabriel's like the father figure
yeah.
to Elizabeth, and Philip's just like, you know, kind of a pain in the butt sometimes to her.
Well, Gabriel reminds him that the best deterrent is strength, because, you know.
Because that's what our president says.
Even Reagan said that. Yeah. That's not what he said, but that's what he said.
Even their president says that.
Right. So then we go to the FBI office, and Stan is on the phone setting up a meeting with Martha's father.
I know, to have a drink. He's going to be in town and wants to have a drink.
Yeah. What did you think about that?
Not much.
I thought that was so sad. It is
kind of sad. I mean, you know, Martha's gone, and her dad's still defending her, because, you know, we'll talk about that when we get to the scene there. I mean, and they're pretty much, I mean, they're dancing all around exactly what happened. And, you know, Martha is pretty strong. She'd have to be strong to get on that plane and leave. But
you're missing your girlfriend, aren't you?
I hate to say it. I hope she's not listening. I'm not really missing Martha.
No. I missed her again. I missed her on the last episode, and I missed her on this episode.
Oh, I miss her. Yeah, I missed that. I miss having her, you know, in the show for sure. But I think Martha and I had, you know, run our course.
Okay.
I think we had spent our, you know, best days together.
Well, Wolf calls for Anderholt and tells him to straighten up them margins.
I know. Yeah, he walks by. We had people like that in the Navy, I promise you. I mean, these admin junkies, I mean, they were just, I mean.
Straighten up them margins.
Hard to.
That's right.
More concerned about that than the job is what these people were. Appearances. It's the same type of people you see that are more interested in their appearance than their substance.
Well, Anderholt says that he should have retired with Gad, but that proves to maybe be something that wouldn't have been in his best interest pretty soon. I thought it was kind of funny that he said that right then. And so Stan talks him into grabbing a drink after work, and then he finds out it's going to be with Martha's dad, and he didn't like that.
Oh, that's hilarious. Then you see the FBI agent who's skilled in entrapment accusing the other FBI agent who's skilled in entrapment, accuses him of entrapping him. Yeah, I thought that was just hilarious.
And Stan says, "Welcome to Munchkinland." And that's the name of the episode. Okay, then what was going on with Henry? He jumps up from the table to go do his homework and leaves his plate there. There's something going on with Henry. Is it just like he's starting in the teenage angst that we've seen? Because he's been a real pleasant kid so far. But, I mean, he's, you know, getting taller and stuff. I mean, he's obviously growing up. And I'm wondering if they're starting to show him showing some rebellion and signs of rebellion. Because a couple times in this, Paige has asked, when are you going to tell Henry? Or, you know, she definitely asked this time, when are you going to tell Henry?
I think he's just being Henry. I don't see anything going on.
Well, Elizabeth's saying that about, if you haven't cleaned, nobody's going to clean his plate. They're all down there cleaning. Nobody's going to clean his plate. And if he doesn't clean it by in the morning, he gets to eat his breakfast off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just smart-mouths about that.
Yeah, he knows it's not going to happen.
And then this is where Alice comes in.
Yeah, she's upset.
By the way, I absolutely think Elizabeth would leave that plate down there. And I think Henry would eat off that plate the next morning. I absolutely think she would. I don't feel like Elizabeth gives a lot of threats that she's not willing to follow through with at all.
You may be right.
Anyway, then Alice comes in. And what were you saying?
She's upset. She comes in and she wants to give him a little speech and then leave, and she does, and tells him Tim's gone, and she looked it up, and Ethiopia is a client state of the USSR, and if he doesn't show up, she's made a tape and given it to a lawyer, and he's going to send it to the Justice Department, and that's it, and she leaves. So that was she was pretty upset and pretty courageous to come over there and threaten him like that, you know, knowing or thinking what she thinks about
him. Yeah, she's worried about her husband. And I just got to say, I've never thought Tim, Pastor Tim, was who he portrays himself to be. And maybe he's not Russian, Maybe he's not, but I think he's something. And if this is the real storyline in here, that they ran out of gas and it took them days to walk back and they got lost, I think that is weak story to throw. And plus, in this area, how dangerous that would have been to have been on foot for days and stuff like that, walking through this area. I just don't buy that story. Am I just being...
No, I think you may have a great point, but we'll have to find out later. Otherwise, you know, it's all just speculation. They're not giving us any hints about Pastor Tim.
No, they're not. They're not giving us anything about it, but I'm really, if that's the storyline, I don't like it. I think that is way too coincidentally happening for it to be something like that. They also ask her where he went missing, and she said the...
AirTrain border or something
like
that.
Did you look that up?
I didn't.
Yeah. Okay, from 1961 until 1991, Eritrea had fought a long war of independence against Ethiopia. So... it seems like a real unstable area. You can get into all this history with that, which I'm not really good at and don't enjoy maybe as much as a lot of people would. But it had been going on since 1961. It didn't end until 1991. So it was a big mess right there, and that's where they went missing. It was definitely an area that was not stable. So how could they get out of their car and walk for days and just be okay in one of those areas? They were talking about how rough of an area just being in Ethiopia, what a dangerous time and area. And
again, you might be on something that I'm missing, but until they give me a few more nuggets, I mean, it's just speculation.
Yeah. And then we go to Oleg and Tatiana, stress relieving.
Oleg is loving life right now.
He looks younger.
Happy.
He's got a smile. I know.
His skin looks better. He is having a literal ball. And I think Tatiana's enjoying herself pretty much, too.
He's shushing her this time. And
yeah,
they think
and he
funny.
Thought that was funny. Yeah, he was happy to do that.
And then they go into this whole little thing about how she's not really experiencing America.
Oh, I love that when he said, you can't really understand America without having a Twinkie.
A Twinkie.
I thought that was hilarious.
Are we kind of mimicking Philip and Elizabeth's relationship here? Because Oleg has really kind of embraced the American lifestyle, so to speak.
Well, this goes to your point, what's your description about strong women. We've got, you know, Oleg happy just to be getting, you know, stress relief. And Tatiana, strong, you know, still staying pretty much on
mission, yeah.
No matter, you know, she has her moments of laughter. But then she goes right back to, you know, she's always working in her mind, which is just like Elizabeth.
Yeah. Yeah. It
so,
almost
yeah,
seems like
think,
a mirroring of
I
their
think you're, I think you're absolutely right. We've got two open Russians mimicking two secret Russians.
Now, who was she trying to get? Do we know anything about this? Because otherwise we were introduced to a lot of new stuff going on.
Well,
because she wants a female computer expert, and she's very specific.
Right.
Must speak perfect English, between 50 and 60 years old.
Right.
I mean, a 50 to 60-year-old, perfect English-speaking, computer expert, KGB. So, I mean, that is a real...
Not for the Soviets.
Okay.
They turned them out. They had Soviet spy farms.
But we don't have any idea what she's looking for here, right?
Not
I mean,
yet,
okay.
But it's got something to do, you know it's got something to do with Don, because that's her division, bioweapons.
Right.
Her division. That's her main thing. You know, what do they call it, Division 12 or Floor 12?
It's
or
Department 12.
Department 12,
yeah.
That is their entire thing.
Well, Oleg guesses the Department 12 thing, and that was called the Poison Laboratory of the Soviet Secret Services, alternately known as Laboratory 1, Laboratory 12, and Chimera, which means the chamber. It was all the same thing. It was like this thing that they did not speak of because they were doing things that were against...
humanity.
Right. But he asked her here if she's good at this, and she says she is. I mean, she's like, yeah, I'm good at my job. And she is. Another strong, strong woman.
Yeah, really strong. One thing she mentioned, I wanted to talk about, was when they were talking about how she was getting her information. And she mentioned to Oleg, well, they just can't stop being Americans. They subcontracted some of it out to a private lab.
That's what she said.
And we're getting
into
private labs. See, that's what we're doing. And what she was, what she was suggesting was, in that they just can't stop being Americans comment, capitalism, privatization. They just can't stop being Americans.
Yeah.
Subcontracted out to a for-profit private lab.
And that was where they were able to
And this was where they were able to penetrate.
Because they could not, they did point out, they could not penetrate the military.
No, they couldn't. No, they couldn't. But
they
could penetrate the private lab because they just can't stop being Americans and having their capitalism all over every place. But of course, you know, Oleg, he's kind of embracing, you know, you got to understand America, you got to have Twinkie.
Yep.
You know, Twinkie, they, you know, it's capitalist. Who makes Twinkies? Hostess?
I think so.
Yeah.
Remember they quit making them for a while? It was like a big, big deal. Do you not remember that? Like,
I don't
Hostess,
remember.
I think, went, I don't know, whoever made them went down and then somebody else bought the rights to make them or whatever.
Since we don't eat Twinkies, we really don't care that much, do we?
Nah, well, I mean, I don't really know how anybody, I mean, you've eaten a Twinkie.
Oh, man, are you kidding? I was in the Navy? We lived on Twinkies and Coca-Cola.
But would you eat a Twinkie now?
I wouldn't go near. I wouldn't touch a Twinkie.
I never liked Twinkies. Now, the Raspberry Zingers,
I love. Which is a Twinkie knockoff.
It's a Twinkie with red, I'm sure, food dye, flavored with artificial, probably, raspberry flavoring. The cake is different. A Twinkie is a sponge cake, and I've never liked sponge cake. I don't understand sponge cake. Sponge cake is confusing, and it's almost wrong
this
to
is
call
the problem.
It cake.
This is the problem with Twinkies, because once you eat a sponge cake, it's like, you know, it goes away pretty quickly in your mouth, so you got to eat like 14
sponge,
of them.
Yeah.
But
a Zinger has a cake. It's cake wrapped around. It's not the same thing at all. It's in the same shape as a Twinkie.
Well, I'd be interested to know if Hostess also makes the Zingers, and it's just another name for another type of
Well, like I said, Twinkie. I don't think they make any of them anymore, so it might be harder to find out.
Well, I guarantee they still make Twinkies. What are you talking about?
No, I think they went...
Somebody,
I think they sold off.
Somebody, somewhere.
Somebody bought it, but it's not the same, so it wouldn't be the same as it was
they're
before.
They're making Twinkies, I'll guarantee. They're not going to stop having
somebody
Twinkies.
Somebody is, but it's not the same company that was in
1980. They just can't stop being Hostess.
But we go back to Philip and Elizabeth talking, and Paige, and they're shell-shocked. And Henry didn't hear, and he just heard Alice yelling. That's something else we didn't point out. They told her to keep her voice down because Henry could hear.
She didn't care.
Yeah, that was...
That's close to being strangled by Elizabeth is what I think.
Well, that was really... I mean, that was not just... Not... That was bad. That was showing Elizabeth that she didn't care about Elizabeth's family. And I think we've already seen this, you know, not really sure how much you want to cross Elizabeth with something like that. So I thought that was pretty close to the edge. It's a good thing I think Henry didn't hear. I think that might have saved Alice some grief.
As long as Tim and Alice are alive, they have exposure.
But the point is, whether there is a tape, was a tape or not, they can always do what she threatened.
Yeah, like I said, as long as...
But they can do it now. They can do it now. Put it with a lawyer. If anything happens to us, send this to the Justice Department. They can do it now. So it's almost like they can't do anything to them, right? Well, because they don't know at any point that they haven't done that. Paige starts going, was it you?
Oh, she really starts questioning the disappearance, yeah.
And she doesn't really question it. She just kind of says, I'm just wondering, you know, and Philip kind of wants to let her off the hook, and Elizabeth will not let her off the hook. What? Say it. Say what you're insinuating, kind of. Get it out. And Elizabeth asks Paige if she thinks they kidnap people and kill them incredulously.
Yeah, which is what they do.
Yeah. And Paige wants to know how she's supposed to know they're telling her the truth.
Which is a good question.
It was a good question, but what was even funnier than that was she storms off and... As soon as she leaves the room, Philip says, is there any way?
Right. He's asking Elizabeth.
Yeah, and Elizabeth says that they wouldn't do this without telling them. And she also says that they wouldn't leave Alice.
No, and off Tim, they wouldn't. You're right. What did you think
going
about her
on.
statement where she said, "I thought I could live like this"?
I think she's talking about with Tim and Alice,
that's
right?
That's what I think, but I think it was a. It also could have been meant to apply to her life as a spy.
Well,
but I agree with you. I think it's meant for this Tim and Alice situation. I thought I could live with this situation with Tim and Alice.
It was said right on the heels of Elizabeth saying she's thinking they may have to run, and then she says she thought she could live like this.
Right.
So, with this pressure, trying to keep, you know, maybe she's thinking she thought she could live like this, letting them be alive.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean with the Tim and Alice situation.
In place of killing them, and so she's kind of realizing that she can't.
Right, they just need to go. And they do, and they have, and they should.
So then Paige goes to the church, and this is where she goes in and talks to Alice. Man, Alice is pregnant, isn't she? She gets more pregnant every week. But Paige says that she just wanted Alice to know that she loves her and Pastor Tim. And this is where Alice hugs her.
And breaks down with her.
Right. I mean, she just leans on her.
Yeah.
You know, she leans on Paige. And the look on Paige's face, you can just tell that's not... Her mother hasn't done that with her,
no.
I don't think, certainly. So then we go to Stan and Adderholt and Martha's father, Mr. Hansen, at the bar. And you were saying something about this scene earlier.
He's defending Martha. You got to find her. She's smart. She's too smart for this. You'll see that I'm right. And, of course, those two guys, I mean, they know what happened. Or they know the gist of what happened. They're never going to be sure.
I don't know,
exactly
though. They've got Martha, like, escalated to some kind of...
Oh, super secret Russian spy. Yeah.
She's really not.
No.
Martha was just caught up in something and had already committed such crime by the time she even knew what she was doing, that I think she really felt like she didn't hardly have a way out of it, and then decided, you know, she had to make her choice, and of course she sided with Clark.
Yep.
But he's saying that she's the kind of person who raised money for flood victims in first grade. I mean, he's really talking her up. But they're saying that the smart people, the good people like that, are the people who are most often manipulated. Do you think that's true?
It probably is, because somebody with diminished intelligence is not going to be in a position they would want to exploit. So naturally, they would
have to be smart.
Be more of those people who are targets. So yeah, I think that's a true statement. I agree with that.
Well, Mr. Hansen wants to get her back. He says, "Just get her back, and you'll see. Promise me you won't give up." And Stan just looking at him like, I don't think you know what... And he's also offering up other excuses. You know, people disappear all the time. He could have just been a con man. You know, he's just coming up with every excuse. But Adderholt assures him that no one is giving up.
Right.
It's an ongoing investigation. He was just being kind to Mr. Hansen here, right?
I'm sure it's an ongoing investigation, but it's leading nowhere. I mean,
right.
It's ongoing, but it's in the file. I mean,
right.
It's not... What's to work?
Well, right. I mean, it's, 7-8 months later at least.
No leads on Clark. You know, Martha hadn't been seen or heard from, so it's pretty much dead. But, you know, they keep it open and call it an ongoing investigation.
Right. Why do you think they showed us that scene with Martha's father? Do you think it was because we're going to see more of Martha? Do you think something's going to come back with all that?
I don't know. I maybe, probably, maybe all the above. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Also, the scene does tell us pretty definitively that the KGB has not gotten to the family yet. We know Philip wanted them to go to the family and let them know where Martha was and that she, or at least that she was okay, and they haven't done that yet.
Right.
And it's that much time passed, and they still haven't done that. So they let us know that with that scene anyway. Do you think they've gotten to him? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay,
tell
what?
You later.
No,
I'm going to tell you later.
No, tell me now.
I'm
going to tell
you when we get to the scene.
So Elizabeth's cooking and Philip walks in. And yeah, you're right. Well, Philip says there is no tape to a lawyer. But he said he heard her saying something about something. And I can't remember his words. Do you remember his words? He did say there is no tape to a lawyer. But... I thought he said he heard a tape, but it wasn't to the lawyer. But how would he know?
I don't think he was listening to a tape, the tape. He was listening to his tape in their office. Remember, he's got their office bugged, remember?
Yeah.
So he was listening to that tape. That's the tape he was referring to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, that makes more sense.
There was nothing on the tape about a tape or the lawyer or anything like
about
that.
About her making a tape,
right.
Sending it to
a
lawyer.
Yeah, nothing
okay.
about that. And no conversation with the lawyer.
I still don't know how he'd know for sure that she hadn't done that somewhere else.
Well,
or whatever.
Because he probably heard a lot about, you know, everything else, and that would be the natural spot that she would have called a lawyer from. And she didn't.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure he's confident that they're not in danger from a tape.
Right. Well, Paige comes in and she's totally silent. She gets something to drink, and this is where Henry's throwing that tennis ball. What did you think about that?
It was annoying the heck.
It was annoying.
Out of Elizabeth.
Did it annoy you?
No.
It was annoying to me. They're having this conversation, and it's like being punctuated with this thump, 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 you know, whenever. And I completely got the annoyance of that.
Elizabeth's on edge anyway from the Young He situation and everything else that's going on.
That's a good point.
So it's easy to get on her nerves right now.
Well, they asked Paige if she saw Alice today, and Paige said, you know, she did, and they prayed. And Philip is saying that they're working to get him back on their end, doing what they can, and that she should tell Alice that.
Then Paige goes on her rant, and Dennis Miller would be proud. It was such a fantastic rant. What are you going to do? We're going to go back to Russia? Are you going to be how are you going to be Russian spies in Russia?
Well, Paige asks what happens if they do, if she does send the tape.
Are you
and
serious?
And they say, we may have to leave. And she's like, who? You and Dad? I mean, she don't want to leave. She
remember
don't
Christmas
go to
Vacation?
Russia. Mm-hmm.
Where Cousin Eddie said to Clark,
are you
serious,
Clark?
Yeah. I kept wanting her to say, are you serious, Clark? Because she did ask him over, are you serious?
Yeah, and you can't be Russian spies in Russia.
I know,
like
and he is Clark, too, by the way. So I thought it, you know, anyways, that's what I thought of.
Huh.
Yeah.
What country are you going to when you can't make it in Russia?
Yeah, who are you
going
to lie to?
Yeah, who are you going to lie to? Who are going to make disappear?
Who are you going to make disappear? There it is again. And she is upset.
And again, Elizabeth stops her. Elizabeth's the one that stops her. And she's like, we didn't do this. Well, Gad and his wife are in Thailand.
He's putting on aftershave. She's going shopping. He's going to catch up with her. And he looks up, and there's three Russian thugs standing there talking to him very nicely. And they have a proposal for him. And it would be a mistake not to listen. But he turns around.
He's terrified, don't you think?
He's an FBI director. He's not supposed to be terrified of three Russian goons in your room who are non-threatening.
We also found out in a couple episodes ago that he was in
Khe Sanh.
Yeah. So
that's in Vietnam. It was a big battle in Vietnam.
So he wasn't probably too awful.
He was a Marine in Khe Sanh.
Right. So
Gad's not scared easily. But he took off running like a little girl through the window, though. He did. I mean, he did this. We saw it.
I hated that.
Here's my theory.
Okay, tell me your theory.
Those three Russian guys.
Mm-hmm.
What was Philip talking to Gabriel about at the bar when he was so distraught?
About getting a hold of
about
Martha.
About we can do it. We can get somebody to their parents. We know how to do this. And Gabriel said he would look into it, and I guess he floated that balloon to the center. Here's what I think happened. The center sent those three guys, and they were going to use them because Gad's retired now. He's got nothing in it. He's not a threat to them anymore. They were going to use him to go to. They were going to tell him where Martha was, and they wanted him to deliver the message to Martha's parents that she's okay and she's in Russia and everything's okay. Because remember, her dad already knows the allegation about the KGB. And they were going to use Gad to deliver the message and make the contact with Martha's parents. This is my theory.
That's a really interesting theory. Why Gad, though? Why?
Because he's non-threatening. He's a player.
But why would Gad do it?
I don't know. That's a... Well, who else do they have to go to, really?
I don't don't know. I mean, you could go to a neighbor.
Who could approach Martha's parents more easily than Gad? They can't use a Russian spy to walk in there and say, "We have your daughter." I mean, or if they have perfect English, "Hey, we've got your daughter." Because the parents would go just bat crazy, and scream just like Martha did. You know, "Russian spies, Russian spies, 911, Rodney King, call the police." But instead, you send a familiar face who knows Martha, and they send Gad to talk to Martha's parents. And Gad goes in and says, and they say, "Hey, Gad, how's it going? What are you doing here?" "I want you to know I've been approached by the Russians. They approached me when I was in Thailand, and they have a message from your daughter." They don't have any recourse against Gad, see? No, they're not gonna turn him in. It's not going to turn into... They're not exposing themselves at all in any way. You see what I'm saying?
No, but I mean, Gad could stand to be... Gad could be exposed. Why would Gad do it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have the answer to that.
Well, if this turns out to be true, you are going to get the star for the month.
I already have the star for theory. The month. I got the star when I woke up this morning.
Because that's pretty...
I know. It's just...
But they did show us Martha's dad for a reason. He was in this for a reason. They brought him around. So something's going on.
He was
on
sitting
with
there
Martha.
With two FBI agents. He wanted to have a drink with them. Who better than another FBI agent, to send to talk to... him. And remember, Arcady, later on, he gets that memo when he's sitting there talking to Tatiana. And that, you know what that memo is relating to, the Gad operation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Didn't work out like we thought. Probably a bad idea to begin with.
Yeah.
So it was something really that nobody really wanted to do. Like Gabriel said, "I don't know," when Philip was talking about it. And Philip was talking him into it, and Gabriel said, "Well, we'll see." So they made a half-hearted attempt at approaching Gad to do this thing for them, thinking he'd do it for whatever reason, and...
They had to have been going to offer him something. There had to have been something to offer him.
There could have been,
Now I want to know.
We'll see.
They're going to tell
us,
surely.
Tell us, yeah, because...
But these Russian goons, they feel bad.
Well, right now, you
hurt.
And I are the only people who know.
Well, now everybody knows.
Well, not yet. We haven't put this on out in the airwaves.
That's pretty interesting.
It's just an idea.
Particularly, though, when you pair it with that other conversation that you already talked about. We'll talk about a little bit more when we get there.
They may have just wanted to sign up for Russian Amway or something. You never know.
You never know. But the goons feel bad. They're apologizing. They didn't want anything like that to happen.
Well, that's another supports my... That's some evidence that supports my conclusion. No, it was something real innocuous in their eyes. Just go do this thing. Let them know that this girl's okay. She worked for you. We really did a number on her. They may have...
Right, this was not your fault in any way. This was not anything you overlooked.
Right. She was out of the country, and he was retired. Any information that he got couldn't do any damage to his retirement from the Russians.
That's a good...
He wasn't being asked to do anything against the state.
Oh, delivering a message from the KGB to somebody's parents. I couldn't help but think how unpleasant that's going to be for his wife to find. And then we go to the scene. Oh, my gosh. The Philip and Kimmy scene.
Yeah, and he's changing the tape. And then they comes out and asking what he missed. And then she starts talking about her boyfriend. And that's a good thing. Pete.
It is a good thing. But Philip is kind of acting a little jealous.
No, he's just...
He
nah,
is.
I don't
he's
see him
acting
acting jealous.
A little jealous. He's like, what's going on with what's his name?
He may be feigning a little jealousy.
That's what I mean, but it's so freaking creepy, Mike.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Then she tells him that her dad doesn't work for the State Department. My dad works for the CIA.
Did you see the look on his face? He does not want to hear this, right?
You know why?
Well, because... Because
Paige just blurted out everything to Tim and Alice, and now here's Kimmy spilling her guts to him, and he's like, "You dang kids don't even know what you're doing telling this stuff."
Right. Right. I actually put that down about he's thinking about Paige here because... he tells her she shouldn't have told him that telling him breaks her father's trust and it could bring her and her father
he's
closer.
He's counseling her.
If only she had kept the secret and all this kind of stuff. But he also doesn't want to be told because, for one thing, he already knows. And for another thing, if that's the only person she's told is him...
Then they'll come looking for him.
For him, bar none.
If she ever has a moment with her parents...
That's right.
Like Paige had.
That's
"Hey,
right.
I told this guy you work for the CIA. Well, let us know the next time he's coming over."
I think that's going to come back to at least try to bite Philip. And good grief in that whole situation with...
Well, he's got to keep... The center will keep him going back changing the tape until...
That's what I'm saying.
But maybe they'll get Hans and the, you know, the unnamed 60-year-old librarian out there scouting.
It's a 40-year-old librarian.
40-year-old librarian and 60-year-old...
50 to 60-year-old computer expert that we
right.
have. Yeah.
Right. And then Mr. Purple in the parlor with the candlestick, right?
Right. Yeah. I think
Colonel
it was
Mustard.
Colonel Mustard.
Yeah.
Paige goes to Stan... slash Matthew's house to see if Henry's there, but Matthew says Henry's not, so why don't we hang out?
Yeah, come on in, have a beer.
Yeah. Matthew's
Dad'll never miss him.
Yeah, he's kind of
he's macking on Paige.
He is, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And here Paige is again. She's like grown up, right? Paige wants a cup of coffee. He asks her if she wants a soda. Now, did you notice that little coffee maker he made the coffee in?
Mm-hmm.
That little bitty one?
Yeah.
They used to do, like, those little single-serve coffee
yeah,
makers.
Yeah, yeah, that's no good. Anything worth doing is worth overdoing in my view.
Yeah. But they start talking about, does Matthew like Stan being an FBI agent? And he goes, well, he never talked to him about it. It was just weird. But now
he's talking about it.
Right.
This is another... all these people are kind of losing their minds a little bit on their security clearances, aren't they? I mean, they're talking about... I mean, Gad... Or not Gad, but... Stan is telling Matthew.
I don't think that had anything to do with security, though. What did it? I mean, that was just a...
It's kinda,
I don't know if
I'll
that would actually
They didn't
count.
Publish it.
But the fact that it got back, or would get back, to Philip and Elizabeth, who were the ones that actually got her, I mean, you know, that's just what...
But
so
Paige doesn't say anything to them about the second... Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be interesting if they did? Well, they do. No, Nick, we saw in the upcoming scenes that actually Stan
right.
offers it up.
Well... Yeah, we'll talk about all that. But
no, we won't talk about upcoming scenes because they're always
I'm talking
deceptive.
About the upcoming scenes.
No,
I take time to write them down.
They're deceptive.
No, they're not. These last ones were good.
You're being manipulated because you think you're too smart not to be.
The last ones were good and these are good. He goes into that whole thing and then she starts telling him about someone who's disappeared because he's talking about Martha having disappeared, doesn't know her name. And then she's like, oh, I have to get a ride. I don't... Oh, whatever will I do? I need to get a ride.
I'll ask my parents.
Yeah.
No, man, I can drive you. What did you think, though? Do you think maybe that this might also be an opportunity? Because Paige is questioning now Matthew. Do you think this might be an agent development operation? Because think of all the information. We now know that Stan is talking to Matthew.
Right.
Okay. Now Paige knows that Stan is talking to Matthew. Now, Paige, like you said, is probably going to go back and start talking to her parents about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how much use could they get, a lot probably, from information that Matthew might give to Paige?
That's a good point.
About what Stan is now coughing up to him.
Good point.
So she's being turned into junior Russian agent number
junior
one.
Junior Elizabeth, yeah.
Yes. Slowly.
Elizabeth 2.0.
She's being developed without the center ever ordering her to be developed. Or without...
Well, they kind of ordered it a long time ago.
But
she's being
without them
slowly...
pressing it.
Yeah.
She's just naturally being developed as a result of receiving this information
right.
that she, you know, received and kind of, you know, screwed up in the beginning.
Well, it's just happening based on her surroundings and then her feeling bad over her telling somebody. And it's just like snowballed into
right.
who knows what. But they get to the church, and everyone's hugging, like I was saying. Lo and behold, Pastor Tim has come walking out of the thickets of the Ethiopian jungle. He just ran out of gas. No harm, no foul.
It's a miracle, one of them says. It's not a miracle. It's a moron ran out of gas in the middle of a jungle.
Yeah, if he didn't run out of gas, I can't buy that. This cannot be the writing of this excellent show. It cannot be the writing that he happened to run out of gas. In the middle, I really don't want it to be that. But Paige does, and she's so relieved. He's coming back home tomorrow. This is where Alice tells her, please tell your parents how sorry I am.
Right, because I want to continue to live.
Yeah. So then Patty picks up a message from Joni, from Young Hee.
Thought that was an excellent scene, too, the way they shot it, by the way, with all the scenery and the, you know, how she was on the phone there, on the payphone.
Yeah. And Young Hee's pretty distraught. She's saying it's getting worse. And she really wants to talk to Elizabeth.
To Patty.
Yeah. So then Paige has explained to her mom and dad that they ran out of gas and got lost.
Everything's
and the whole thing.
Cool. He's it's okay. And she's not mad anymore.
Really bad.
She feels bad. Don't kill her.
And this is where they get into the thing where Elizabeth's telling them that the hardest part of their job is to trust. But they trust one another. They don't lie to one another. And that now that they've brought her in.
She's part of that.
Right.
She's part of that unwritten agreement.
Right. She's part of the truth. And they can't always tell her every detail.
But she's included.
But what they will tell her, what they can tell her, they will. And they will not lie. So that's another little.
Which is a lie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They lie. They lie to her all the time. And then this is where Paige says she doesn't think they should ask Alice.
Right. She goes straight to that. They get that out of the way, how you're in the circle of trust. Once you're in the circle of trust, you know, you're good. If you ever get out of the circle of trust, you can't get back. But and then Paige goes, hey, look, okay, here's what I think. I don't think we should ask for the tape back right away.
Right. I started to ask her, but it didn't feel right.
And they created a dialogue with her. They said, really? You don't think so? You know? And they look at each other and think, you know, because they know there's no tape. And they say, you know, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea. So they're encouraging her, and they're bringing her along.
And then this is where Paige wants to know when they're going to tell Henry. And they said that depends on Henry, if we tell him or we don't.
Yeah, if he doesn't put that tennis ball down, they're never going to tell him.
And then we go to the scene that we were talking about before where Tatiana's having the conversation with Arcady, and then there's a knock on the door, the envelope's brought in, Arcady opens it, and it's saying...
He's reading that GAD,
the
GAD
operation
failed. Yeah.
And he says maybe it should have never been planned in the first place. So, man, that makes your story awfully smart. Awfully smart.
Well, you know, we do what we can.
And then Adderholt and Stan go into the vault.
Yeah, and
Adderholt's
got
some bad news.
Tells him Stan's dead. Or I'm sorry, Adderholt tells Stan that GAD is dead, and there's going to be an announcement. He doesn't know any details.
Yeah, Stan's saying, was it a heart attack? Did it happen while he's on vacation? She's asking him all these questions like you would. I mean, he's like messed up. He's distraught over it. And then we see Gabriel telling Elizabeth that they did actually have people looking for Pastor Tim, and that sometimes the best move is just having a little bit of luck.
Then he said what he was doing over there because he's a good Christian, remember? And Elizabeth scoffed.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeding people or building houses or something.
Yeah, she said something about at least he's feeding people. He's doing something good over there. And then Gabriel's kind of pushing her for those codes.
Right.
You know, she kind of says, yeah, I think I'm close. And she goes, yeah, I'm okay. I'm going to get it. And he notices
something's up. And then she starts talking about young He's family.
Right.
Which is what's on her mind. She's going to destroy this family. She went to one EST meeting, just one, and they have ruined years of Russian spy training. She's now in touch with her feelings, and she's worried about the Korean operative's family.
But Gabriel's worried, too, for her.
Gabriel's more worried about the effect it's having on Elizabeth.
Well, right.
Remember, Gabriel got in touch with his EST side, giving him that vacation 7 months ago. Remember?
Yeah, I do. Well, he says, you know, it's possible for people like us who give up everything to our country and the world to forget about ourselves. And this is where she's saying this kind of stuff, you know, her feelings shouldn't matter. She also tells Gabriel that he sounds like Philip after an EST meeting right here.
Yeah. And then Gabriel offers her. He just straight up offers her another way out. He says, do you want me
to ask them to
find another way in? And he hauled around. And he said, Elizabeth, do you want me to ask them to find another way in?
There's no harm in asking.
And she says yes. That really surprised me.
Yeah, it did me too.
She doesn't shirk from anything.
No, she doesn't, but she's definitely having some issues. Then we go into next week. I know you don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Well, they're manipulating you.
I know.
Some of the stuff that you see on the upcoming scenes might not even happen
next week.
Okay,
but do you want to listen?
Okay, sure.
Okay. Gabriel's telling Elizabeth that the center turned down her request and her mission has to go forward.
Yep, well, we see that. That'll probably happen.
Then we see Elizabeth and Don. Pastor Tim and Alice are having dinner with everyone, including, we presume, Stan, and asking what he does. And Henry tells him he's an FBI agent. So Henry tells Pastor Tim that Stan, Philip's neighbor, is an FBI agent. Patty is telling Don she's pregnant and asking him if he wants her to get rid of it, and he's responding that's the only way. Dan is telling Oleg that there's been a lot of interest in him lately.
And it was a kind of a haggard looking Stan too. Did you notice that?
Well, Stan's messed up over GAD now, you know. But Oleg says he's flattered.
Yeah.
Philip's telling Elizabeth that Stan's old boss was killed in Thailand. And Stan is saying he thinks the Soviets did it. the KGB, he's talking to Philip, I think. So we get lots of little clues here to next week's episode.
Lots of little clues, yeah.
That probably don't mean anything.
That probably don't mean squat. Definitely don't mean squat.
Next week's episode, by the way, is called Dinner for Seven.
Which is alluding to the Pastor Tim...
the dinner that they were talking. Yeah. The seven would have to be, of course, Philip and Elizabeth, Paige and Henry, Stan, Alice, and Pastor Tim.
Okay.
That'd be the seven, I'm guessing, right?
Yep, you're probably right. You do math so well.
Okay. Well, we hope you'll connect with us here at Tribal Rant and become part of our American Reds podcast. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you about American Reds, Mike?
At Mike from TN.
And I'm at Michelle from TN on Twitter. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tribalrant. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can subscribe to us there. Please like us and rate us if you like what we're doing. And, of course, all this information is on tribalrant.com, where you can email us or leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, we do a Fear the Walking Dead podcast. The mid-season finale is this Sunday, so we're looking forward to that.
Da-da-da.
It's here on tribalrant.com, and it's called Fear the Walking Prequel. We also have a Survivor podcast that we do every week, so if you guys like Survivor, check that out. The Tribe is Spoken here on TribalRant.com. We'll be finishing up our season 32 this weekend. We normally would have just finished it up this week, but it was a three-hour episode last night.
It was like Gilligan's Island. It was a three-hour tour, wasn't it?
It was long. And if you guys can't get enough of the Americans, we can't blame you. Our friends Mike and Jamie over at West Coast Project do the Americans podcast. That's like everything else over there, really good. So if you still want more and want different views, check them out at westcoastproject.com.
Yeah, and we just podcasted together with West Coast Project, which was very enjoyable, by the way. We did a four-way podcast with them and podcasted a movie called Failsafe in response to last week's episode of The Americans, which was entitled The Day After. And it was about the movie The Day After that came out in 1983 about a nuclear exchange between our two countries. So Mike came up with the idea of podcasting a movie that dealt exactly with this subject and this situation. And it was really, really good. It's a 1964 film called
Failsafe.
It had Henry Fonda and Larry Hagman and a few other, Walter Matthau were some of the major players. Dom DeLuise had a bit part in it, which was really interesting. But it was a great movie. You should check it out. It's very dated. It's very fun to watch, and we had a great time podcasting it.
Yeah, it was a really unique experience. So run on over to westcoastproject.com and have a listen to Failsafe with Mike and Jamie and us, Mike and Michelle. So do you have anything else for The Americans Episode 10, Munchkins?
Nope.
Then we'll be back next week for Episode 11, Dinner for Seven.
We will see you back here next week.
See you then.